We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Well, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show and T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest. And the latest is the Astros have now got themselves in a tie ball game. And I'll be quite frank with you, they're very fortunate that they're in a tie ball game right now. They led 3-1 going into the ninth inning, and Souza got himself into some trouble there. And now going into the eighth inning, they led 3-1. Now going to the ninth inning, it is 3-3 as Souza gives up two runs, multiple hard hit balls, and but with the bases loaded, game tied, one out. He gets Randall to ground into a double play to end that inning. And
that's a nightmare of a last name.
What is?
Grichuk?
No, here's you another one. Some damn Diamondbacks.
G-R-I-C-H-U-K.
Yeah, Grichuk? Yeah, he played for the Cardinals for a long time.
And now we got Ginkle.
Yeah, Ginkle's he's pretty good. At least he was before this year. ERA is near 8 right now. But it is 3-3 as they were able to get out of that. It could have been worse. They were able to get out of that with a double play. So we'll see what happens now. They've won the series already. They're looking to sweep. And they're in the ninth inning right now. 3-3 ball game. We'll see what happens. We'll keep you updated there. Some good news within this game, Clint. Brandon Walter. Back-to-back really, really good starts against the Diamondbacks today and previously against the Mariners. But he goes 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts on 82 pitches. And I do think that was the right move to take him out, right? 82 pitches, he hit the first batter that he faced in the 7th, hit it right to the wall, and Cam Smith really didn't have anything else to do to get him out. So he was probably ready to come on out, but he pitched a great game. His ERA is now at 3.35, and that's back-to-back starts, and he's going to be in it now. With Lance going to the IL with the blister, and them, I'm certain they're going to be taking their time with some of the guys that are trying to come back, like Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, and Spencer Urgetti. So they're going to need him to step up and continue to pitch this way.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to need somebody to with Lance McCullers going down. So why not be Ginger Nation, baby? I like it. Today was impressive. Obviously, it's Arizona, and we get that. But today was impressive. No, you know, either way you slice it.
Yep. By the way, I think he's local.
From around these parts?
I think he's a local guy. Let me check that out. I'm certain he is. Yeah, Rosenberg, Texas.
We've had a winner or two from down that way.
Have you? Had a winner or two from that way? Yeah, there you go. I thought he was a local kid. Yeah. And then Lamar.
Don't look now, but the Astros have had two bunt singles in a row.
That's right, man. I bet you Taylor's one of them. Taylor Trammell. Yep, there you go. The Short and Trammell show right here, baby. Getting on. There it is. So they got a chance to neither one of them are going to be challenged. They got a chance to try to take the lead back here in the ninth inning, and they're off to a really good start here. Now let me tell you something. We're gonna see how good Altuve's feeling.
Oh, you ain't lying,
right? Wouldn't you think he'd get one of these at bats?
I sure would hope so.
I don't know who's hitting. I guess Christian Walker is hitting right now.
That hand's fine, right?
Yeah, I guess he won't. He wouldn't pinch hit for maybe they're the bad part of the lineup. Although I would have thought. Maybe I'd pitch hit him for one of these fellas, but whatever.
I have a question for you guys. Have we, I really can't remember, have we gotten to celebrate an afternoon baseball win yet this season?
Oh, yeah.
I think there's been one or
there's
two.
There's been a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it has, it's been a while.
Not a lot.
I was trying to think of it.
Not a lot. But,
Boy, Vic's having a hell of a July, isn't he?
Yeah. You're right. I forgot Vic is batting second today for some odd reason.
RBI leaders this month in all of Major League Baseball. Vic's tied with Altuve for third.
Yeah.
17 RBIs in the month of July. That's a big number.
Put it on the table.
Good for him, man. He's had a good July. We'll keep you updated here. Well, okay. We'll update you right now. He's had a great July.
That was a bad July 23rd. That was a bad July 23rd, 507.
Popped up to the shortstop. This would be something, I think, that drives Clint nuts. You think there was ever a thought, maybe lay one down?
Runners? Yeah, I mean, it would have.
Go for three. You think three, my lord. There ever thought, and if you see the alignment, again, also Clint.
Well, he just cued one down the left field line. The third baseman actually got to it, and it was a hit the at-bat before.
I'm telling you, there's nobody even on that side of the field.
Yeah.
Just lay that sucker down right there. Hell, you might get a hit.
Nah, we're going to swing away, baby.
That's all right. Put it in. Hey, it's time for Christian Walker to make it up now. He's had runners on third base with less than two outs twice, and he struck out. If he can beat the old Ginkle, his old teammate. All right, so we'll keep you updated there. Astros tied in the ninth inning, 3-3, as they look to sweep the Arizona Diamondbacks.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, it is day one of camp, and I do want to get your thoughts, Clint, of overall how you're feeling and what you thought about camp. But I do want to get some of the notes injury-wise and guys that did not practice today. On the physically unable to perform list, the PUB list, the Texans had Denico Autry, Derek Barnett, Trent Brown. Trent Brown, not a real surprise. Eli Cox, center, Tank Dell, no surprise there. Foley Fatakasi, he's recovering from shoulder surgery that he had right after the season. Kurt Heinisch, so they were a little light when it came to D tackles. Other importance, Damian Pierce, J.J. Taylor, so two backs out, and then Jimmy Ward. And then important also, Clint, when it comes to the non-football injury list, Joe Mixon was placed on that. We talked about that a little bit with Brandon. Just we have not seen Joe Mixon on the practice field yet this offseason. And if you heard that, names like Brevin Jordan did not include being on a PUP list recovering from an ACL surgery. Also, Christian Harris, a big one, was not on any of the lists. But, Clint, we still didn't see him at all on the field. So there are some important pieces and players that have not been on the practice field yet that are designated on the PUP list there. But I think the Joe Mixon, Christian Harris, those are the ones, Damian Pierce, those are the ones that really jump out that you wonder, all right, what's going on with those three guys and how come and how soon is it going to be before they get on the field?
Yeah, I mean that's the big question mark here is the running back position with Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, and then as the ongoing saga of Christian Harris and what's going on and what is wrong with him? What's I mean, obviously the word on the street is it's a calf again, and is this thing still the same issues they were having last year? It's wild, man. So yeah, getting those guys back from an injury report standpoint, I think those are the big ones. The other ones, it's they've been here, they know what's going on. They're on the defensive side of the football. You're not worried about that. There's definitely some concern with the guys you mentioned.
All right, by the way, the Astros take the lead.
The force is strong with him.
As I said, Christian Walker comes home. He has had a couple of big strikeouts, and he takes the lead. They're 4-3 as the Astros have come right back on top. They pick up two runs to tie the game. The Astros come right back and take the lead in the ninth. And you already see their closer, Josh Hader, is up and ready to go. So he'll come in and try to hold this down. And now they've got a situation here with Diaz up where they can even add more to this as well. So 4-3, one out, runners on the corners as Yiner Diaz is looking to add a little bit more to this lead right now for the Astros. By the way, so overall for you, just with training camp today, we'll get to some other things coming up. We'll get a little conversation about something D'Amico's talking about and the O-line. But overall, what was your feeling about training camp today?
Well, look, I thought overall that there's a clear message or observation that's going to be that changes the game this year. I think last year, this time of year, after one practice, it was about stretching the field, being aggressive. We saw it play out on practice with go routes being thrown. We heard it in the post game or the post practice presser from the quarterback. And then this year, I think, watching practice, I didn't see one ball thrown over 10, 15 yards down the field. There was a heavy emphasis on the run. There was a pace that indicates that there was a real focus on communication, getting in and out of the huddle, getting a hat on a hat, guys being where they're supposed to be versus playing fast and being explosive and doing all these different things. There was a real slowdown approach to practice today offensively, and so they're going to be a sound football team. They're going to be efficient. They're going to communicate at a high level. And that's kind of coming at the expense of maybe practice being a little bit slower pace, especially out of the gate, which is what we saw today. So I love it. I like it. I'm not complaining. I'm just giving you an observation of what practice looked like today. Last year, it was about adding to the year before and being explosive and a five-headed monster. This year, it's about getting the offensive line right, running the damn football.
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, outside of some of the guys struggling with fielding punts today.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it felt like a pretty good, and D'Amico said as much, a pretty good practice when it comes to mistakes made, when it comes to your assignment, knowing what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah. It didn't seem like there was a lot of sloppiness, and I think sometimes you see that first day of camp, and these guys have been gone for, I don't know, over a month, and they come back, and it did seem like practice ran smooth. It did seem like they were doing what they need to do. It seemed like they had been in practice for a couple of weeks, I think that was very noticeable.
I mean, it was for lack of better terms, music to my ears as a guy that when it comes to football, man, you just got a real leg up if you can do the simple thing savagely well on a consistent basis. Which is really why the offense wasn't as good as they should have been last year, because they couldn't do those things for a number of reasons. But clearly they are focused on those things, and I love to see it. We'll see if Nick Caley can be a difference maker. But I think this is more D'Amico's approach of, hey, communication is not going to be a problem. Running the football, being physical, is not going to be a problem. Our O-line not being one solid unit is not going to be a problem. Even if we got to sacrifice, you know, our quarterback throwing the ball down the field and young receivers that need these reps catching balls down the field and getting an applause from the crowd every time we throw a bomb kind of deal. Even if it comes at that expense, we're going to get better up front, and I like the approach.
Yeah. Things went well day one. Tomorrow, day two, we will see how this thing progresses as the football season is officially underway right now for the Texans.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, elsewhere around the league, one of the kind of quarterback stories that I don't think just ends here, but one of the most interesting quarterback rooms that involves Russell Wilson, that involves Jameis Winston, that is DeVito out there?
It's Dart.
But I thought DeVito might have been out
there. Oh, no, he's there. He's there too. I don't know if he's hurt or not.
And then Jackson Dart, who they moved up in the first round to get, is the Giants. And Brian Daboll, who I believe is coaching for his life, or his football coaching life with the Giants. Day one here, Clint, he has said the Giants' starting quarterback is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is the clear-cut starting quarterback as the New York Giants begin training camp. That's what Brian Daboll said on Wednesday. He said these guys will be out here competing, but Russ is our starter. The Giants signed Wilson and fellow quarterbacks Jameis Winston in free agency and selected Jackson Dart in the first round of this year's draft. A lot of people have been talking up Jackson Dart and how well he has done in OTAs and in mandatory minicamp, as crazy as Russ is, can be, is when I say crazy, just his whole presentation at times, I think this is probably the right move.
Yeah.
For him to be the starter, not force it with Jackson Dart. And I think Jameis is more of a backup that knows his role there. But Russ, if you remember, there was a stretch there with the Steelers where, you know, he played pretty good ball and changed their offense and helped them get to the playoffs. But this one makes much more sense rather than potentially rushing Jackson Dart.
Well, look, I don't know if it's the right decision. I mean, time will only tell with their quarterback situation. Who knows? I think it's a little bit of a crapshoot. But I as you know, Ron, I've always been a fan of, like, make a decision. You know, you're with these guys every day. You see the team, how the team responds to them. You obviously know the resume and have watched the film and know who they are. You know what's best. Pick a damn quarterback. Give him the reps. Give him the role of being the leader and the biggest, most powerful voice in the building. And let's see what he does with it. The whole 2 and 3 guys getting reps, and it's just a poor way, ineffective way of you know, making a decision for your team. I mean, I don't know if it's the right decision, but I love making a decision and running with it.
Yeah, no, I like that, and I do think Jackson Dart at some point is probably going to start a game or two, but I think at this point it makes a lot of sense. All right, coming up, I think Clint has something to get off his chest about something he saw at training camp, and I think it'd be interesting to hear something that D'Amico had to say about his offensive coordinator and kind of maybe how that bleeds out a little bit towards maybe somebody else that he used to have a relationship with. And then also, fellas, I don't know if you guys were aware of this stat, but this is insane. I cannot believe this. A Houston legend has a jaw-dropping stat. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ah, you said it hadn't happened in a while, Tyler. Well, it just happened.
Let's go.
And the Astros keep it together in the ninth. Josh Hader closes it out for yet another save. Christian Walker with the game winner. And the Astros win and complete the sweep. They win 4-3 in Arizona. And yes, Bryce got him another RBI today.
Yes, sir. That's right. Sweeping
Bryce
away out of the desert.
There you go. He got him another one ground out. It was an error, and they helped him out a bit, but they took advantage of those errors, and they now have a 6-game lead because the Brewers beat the Mariners 10-2 today as they lose 2 of 3. The Astros sweep the Diamondbacks, so that gives them a 2-game lead. They left Seattle up 4, they now are up 6 after this series against the Diamondbacks. So, big time. They pick up 2 games in that series right there, and they now have a 6-game lead in the West. 4-3, big game from Brandon Walter. A bit sad situation that he doesn't get a chance to get the win, but he was in line for it when he left in the 7th. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned. 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. So he had a big time performance there today. And as we said, Christian Walker came home and had a really good series. Came back to his old ballpark and had a really good series against Arizona.
Yeah, look, it's I don't know, boy. We go from worrying about letting this division get down to a 2-game, possibly a 1-game if you get swept kind of deal, all the way to now you just at a blink of an eye after a series where you get the sweep, somehow, some way this team continues to win, you get a sweep and it's a 6-game lead again. So I tell you, the stars are aligning for the Astros if they can just get some guys back and be a little more competitive when it comes crunch time. It'll be big, but this series was much needed for sure.
You know, it was big. It was big for the Astros to do what they needed to do. So big win, 4-3. They take care of the Diamondbacks. And they will come home and have the A's. They have the A's, another winnable series against a last-place team, as they will have the A's, and Seattle will play the Angels. So they can maybe pick up some more ground on the Mariners. And really, they're close to catching up with the Tigers. I don't know if the Tigers have played today. If the Tigers lost today, Clint, I think they would, and they have. So I believe the Astros now have the best record in the American League. With the Tigers' loss and their win, they were a half game behind them. And the Tigers are starting to scuffle a little bit. So the team with the best record.
Who's your daddy now?
Is the Houston Astros.
Should I say the Astros?
How?
I don't know. Hell, I don't know.
It's a beautiful thing, though, boy.
I thought the golden era was over.
Beautiful thing. It's fun being an Astros fan, ain't it, boys?
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite. That's interesting how this has occurred. Before you let us know what you want to get off your chest from training camp today, did you have you seen this with Justin Verlander? Justin Verlander, who was
winless, is what I saw a while back.
I didn't know it was this bad.
He tied a record.
Yeah, he tied the San Francisco Giants record to start the season 0-16. Not 0-16. He was 0-8.
Right.
But winless in his first 16 games, and he finally broke the streak and won today.
Got it done. Whole JV.
He's 1-8.
Just in time for Crane to make a move.
1-8. He was headed towards 0-17 to start the season. What the hell? No, you ain't getting to 300 wins like this. Man, I didn't know it was that bad out there for him. And the Giants are good.
Yeah,
the Giants are above 500.
I haven't watched enough to know even what the hell's going on. I wonder if Father Time has jumped on his back or if he's just had a rough go.
I mean, his ERA, it's not great. I mean, it's just under 5, and probably lower today. But good God, there's got to be some bad luck in there. That is rough. I did not know it was that bad over there for Justin Verlander, but he gets the dub today. All right, what you need to get off your chest about what you saw at training?
Well, I mentioned this earlier, man, and the tight ends are going to be a huge factor for this Texans offense. I mean, do you get Dalton Schultz? That's the bad Dalton Schultz from 2024. Do you get the Dalton Schultz from 2023 and before? That's a quarterback's best friend that can separate. That's a clutch catcher, right? Do you get Cade Stover, a young player that seems to be making huge strides quicker than most, or do you get a guy that hits a wall and doesn't develop? Do you get a Brevin Jordan that is injured, or do you get the Brevin Jordan that's an elite weapon at that position? Like, that room has a boom or bust potential, right? And so I'm watching the tight ends today, and I just don't understand how this happens, Ron. I don't understand how it happens. They're out there for an hour and 28 minutes from 9 o'clock until 10:28. And I'm watching the tight ends because the thought that I just articulated to you, that hit me pretty early in practice. So I spent a lot of time watching the tight ends and the different team drills and the rotations and all that. And I'm thinking this is a real chance for Brevin Jordan to be a difference maker on this team, for him and for the Texans, hell. And I look up, Ron, and we're probably two snaps into the only team period, like full team period, where it's not an emphasis on run or it's not slow plates install. It's a true team period.
He just made a catch, didn't he?
Offense versus defense. And we're probably two snaps into it, and I look up, and Brevin Jordan is casually walking with, I don't know if it was a trainer or just an assistant, a ball boy type situation. I'm not sure. But he's walking away from all the action down the field right in front of us, and he goes in the cool room, the cool down room, the cold room, whatever the hell that thing is.
He had just made one catch, turned it up.
And I'm just thinking, when did we get to a spot where, like, you can't tell me that Nick Caserio doesn't stand there in the end zone and go, here we go. You can't tell me that he doesn't roll his eyes at that type of stuff. Or are we at a spot where I'm just the old head that hadn't played since back then and it's all acceptable? You can't tell me D'Amico Ryans doesn't look over there and go, the hell is Brevin Jordan doing?
He's hot.
We got 10 reps. We got 10 reps the first day of camp. We get 10 reps of team. And he was getting mixed in there consistently throughout the rest of practice. How? How are we hot? How are we? And I don't even care if it's suggested by the trainers. Like, it doesn't matter whether it's accepted or not. How does Brevin Jordan walk to a cold room in the middle of a team period when you've got about 10 reps and you got less than 10 minutes left in practice? How?
Well, let's break it down. First, why does it bother you so much?
Because everybody, you're installing a new offense. Forget about the fact that Brevin hadn't been there. You're installing a new offense. Every rep matters.
To the stars.
Every rep matters.
And you believe he was missing that point?
No way you can get mental reps if your ass has got you back to the huddle.
Mental reps. You want the mental reps and the reps.
All of it. Any kind of rep you could possibly get. Like, communicate with your tight ends coach. Communicate with the other guys that aren't in there. There's plenty of action that could be happening. The last thing you should be doing is walking to a cold room. Getting a head start on your recovery in the last period of practice. And look, clearly it's a different generation.
And I think it's probably not a game plan that was more than just his decision.
Well, look, I don't doubt that it wasn't his decision. I don't doubt that the little vest that they wear under their pads may have triggered something, an alarm somewhere, and one of the trainers is watching, and maybe his heart rate got up or his body temperature got up again. But like, where have we gotten to a point where we just walk off away from team drills, from team practice? You got 10 today.
I can't remember. Did he ever return? Or did he go ahead and get started?
If he did, it was at the, like, literally at the last rep. I mean, I watched for a good 3 or 4 reps and he never returned. But it's just, like, that stuff absolutely baffles me.
I think it's going to bother you because it's a different time. I, like, someone just texted in, many of them are lazy and entitled. I don't think this was Brevin's decision. I think it was, like you said, maybe something triggered because he was walking with somebody else.
But Ron, the thought of, like, I do think it's like Brevin's decision. Like Brevin should be in a place. I don't give a damn what the area is. Brevin should be in a place where it's like, no, I'll catch you in 5 reps when this practice is over right here. I'm gonna get in that cold tub. By the way, the guy that he was walking with wasn't telling anybody what to do. He was assisting with a towel and drinks and care and helmets.
Yeah, I mean, it may have been something put together prior.
I just don't know. I don't know how, when you got literally 10 reps of full all go team versus your defense. I don't know what can pull you from that to a cool room.
The reason why I just say that, right, is do we believe that Brevin Jordan is in a comfortable spot?
I believe that. I'll be honest with you. I think Brevin Jordan is a lot more comfortable than he should be.
But I'm saying, do you believe that Brevin Jordan is in a comfortable spot to just bounce from practice on his own, to just make a catch and bounce from practice on his own? That's what I'm saying. I think this is something that was probably understood and planned by somebody, and not just, man, I'm ready to roll off.
Well, if you're, again, I mean, I don't think it was planned. I think it was a reaction to something. There was some kind of alarm. Maybe he told somebody he was tired. Maybe he told somebody, whatever. But if D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio are in a spot where they're like, hey, trainers, man, got 5 reps left in this little team period we got right here at the end of practice, man. Pull whoever alarmed them and get them in that cold room right now. By the way, the just casual walk down there showed me that there wasn't anything severely wrong. It just baffles me that's where we're at. And the only reason I noticed is because I was watching the tight ends very closely, and I'm thinking, Brevin George turning me on. This is nice. And then I'm looking at, here we go. The hell is going on here? I'm telling you, man, it's wild to watch.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be different. I saw Aziz, I saw a couple of guys roll over into that cold tub or that cold room or whatever. I just kind of think it's ain't in Wichita Falls no more, man.
Well, this is extreme. I
ain't got no shade over there.
I can give a little bit, but damn, iron 28 minutes, 10 play team period. You can't last that. Eh, I can't depend on you.
All right, coming up as we continue, we'll let you know what happened with the Astros and. If you missed it, we'll let you hear what D'Amico had to say about the offensive line and what it looked like today. The number one thing on the field that people are wondering about with this team. We'll tell you what we saw today.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Again, the Astros take care of business. They sweep the Arizona Diamondbacks, and with that sweep of the Diamondbacks, one, they gained more ground on the Mariners, as the Mariners, they got blown out at home by the Brewers 10-2. And so now that lead is now to 6 in the AL West. And that's crazy, Clint, where we are, man, because that was very close to going from 7 and then going to 5 real quick, and then 3-0 in the third inning on Sunday with their ace on the mound, or at least their best pitcher this year thus far in Owuwu, him on the mound, and they could be a 2-game lead if they hold on to that lead. And now, after this series, it's back up to 6. And also with the Tigers losing today, they now take over the number one spot and best record in the American League, as they're doing that with all the injuries, all of the weird stuff that's happened around here.
It feels huge.
They are now the best record in the American League. Your Houston Astros. So they'll come home and play the A's, and potentially can add to it, see if they can take that series as well. So the Astros with a big-time performance. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, as always, and I'm sure they will talk about what happened first day of training camp. Saw those guys out there today, John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. They follow us. Following them, Area 45, our guys, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago, they will hold it down as they will look at not only training camp today, and they'll look at the Astros and much, much more when you're taking in the best late-night sports show in all of Houston. Area 45, hanging and banging them. No. Area 45, they're knocking it out from 7 to 11 coming up after
hanging and banging.
Hanging and banging them, baby. Shaking and baking them is what they're doing. And T-Mill's best bets. Last night, T-Mill, he only won one bet last night. Now, he did push another, but he was in the red last night. He will have his best bets coming up in just a bit. All right, Clint, offensive line. Offensive line's the biggest thing and biggest question on the field with the Texans, and we watched him for the first time in camp, and I would personally say it went different than what we've seen at OTAs and at mandatory minicamp. Do you feel like you have a clearer picture right now of what the offensive line situation is going to be for the Texans?
No, I don't have a clearer picture. I still have some thoughts. I think Titus Howard's your right guard. I think Lakin Tomlinson's your left guard. I think Cam Robinson's your left tackle. I think the center spot is up for grabs, and I think that right tackle spot is probably a little tighter competition than we'd like between Blake Fisher and Ariante Ursary. However, those are just my thoughts. After watching practice today, it doesn't appear that anything is clear to the decision makers with the Houston Texans. The first hour of practice, the starting rotation was significantly different than the one rotation, if you will, during OTAs in minicamp, right? The center was different. It was Jarrett Patterson. The right tackle was Ariante Ursary. So those two guys were plugged in. And that went on for an hour. And then all of a sudden, when the team period started, all of a sudden, Jake Andrews is in at center. Blake Fisher is in at right tackle. Ariante Ursary is in at left tackle. It was just a juggling offensive lineman in and out. So, no, it's not any clearer what the Texans are going to do at the offensive line position than it was when we stepped out of the vehicle over there to watch practice for the first time today. In fact, I would say it's the water's probably a little bit murkier. The water's probably a little bit muddier, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Now, listen, there's competition, Clint, and you've been around.
Yeah. By the way, I think it's – I'm not opposed to what they're doing. I think it's fine. I just think it's a legit more competition than expected.
Well, like you said, Tytus Howard at right guard, to me, and maybe Tomlinson, but Tytus Howard at right guard is the only one that you, I guess, 100% feel confident is his spot, because he's the only one that didn't change off of that spot when they went with whatever the ones were. I'm with you. I think Tomlinson seems to be there. Hell, I would have put Andrews in that same boat as Tomlinson, because that's what we've seen. I guess for me, you like what they're doing with the competition. And it's cool, man. Sometimes you see, all right, man, there's a competition at, you know, a guard spot or a tackle spot. Rarely do you see, hey, man, they're flipping four guys, right? And I guess my thought for you is, at what point do they need to get to a point where they settle in and these guys are playing together? Like how long does this go where it's like, hold on, man, these guys got to start playing together?
Well, I think it happens pretty quickly. I mean, you are installing a new offense, and it's not – look, this wasn't a C.J. Stroud-friendly hire in Nick Caley in terms of terminology. I mean, unless they're just blowing smoke, I thought that there was a chance the terminology was very similar, and that was part of the reason that Nick Caley's here. It's clear they're installing an entirely new offense. D'Amico Ryan's talked about it again today. He's talked about it multiple times in OTAs since we've been hearing from him with the media. So it's clear they're installing a new offense. You know, at some point, like, the reality of it is, you're installing a new offense and you're heavy rotation at the O-line position. And the reality of it is, you've got let's call it three teams, but really there's more than that, but let's call it three. Let's call it the Bills, the Ravens, and the Chiefs in this division, right?
This
conference. Let me let you in on something. They're not installing an offense. They may be getting a couple of guys up to speed, yeah. but their main communicators on the offensive side of the football, they're not installing an offense. They're not moving at a snail's pace and working on communication and working on the run game. They're working on advanced stuff. And so I'm not saying that the Texans should dictate what they do based on the teams that they're chasing. But the reality of it is that at some point, this thing's got to fast track to, hey, we got to play football, real football games in a month. And real football games that matter sooner rather than later. And so you got to decide what center you're going to have in the game. Now, they're going to try to sell you a bill of goods about, well, we've got two really good centers and we like everybody and everybody's versatile and we got four guards that we really like, and everybody can switch and do this and that. And, boy, Ariante Ursary's really promising, and he can play both tackles and all that. They're going to sell you this bill of goods that this is a great idea. And for right now, it may be. But at some point in time, when rubber meets the road, you're already going to be behind offensively than the teams you're chasing, right? But how far behind, you're going to be able to dictate that to some degree. I think they've got to get their starting lineup, their starting guys, at least most of them, right, in place, I would say within a week.
Yeah.
I would see by the time you get four or five practices deep, Ron, you would like to see some guys settling into to a position.
I hope they're not flipping during preseason. Like, preseason games, we got a pretty good idea. It's not, you know, three guys you don't have an understanding of. All right. Tyler, T-Mill, let's get back on it. Let's get back into the green.
Yes.
What's T-Mill's best bets for tonight?
Yeah, that'd be real nice, because if this is not a green Wednesday night of best bets for us, y'all heard it earlier, Clint Sterner's picking these tomorrow.
Come on, baby. I've never hoped for more red in my life.
I'm dead-ass serious right now. But I got five for you, because I got no quit in me yet. First, I got that squad up Highway 45. Team in Arlington, the Rangers, they're hosting the A's. I got the Rangers money line at -130. Next, I got Canada, the Blue Jays, +1.5 tonight as they face off against the Yankees. Next bet for you is the Phillies money line. I got it at -135. They are hosting the Red Sox this evening. In that same game, I'm on the over. Red Sox at Phillies, over 8.5 runs on a hump day. And lastly here, your fifth and final best bet for Wednesday night, White Sox at the Rays, under 9 runs in that one. Those are your five best bets, and good hell, please.
Yeah, that Phillies-Red Sox series has been fun. You see how that game ended the other night?
I did not.
Catcher's interference?
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, yes, yes. That's real fun to
watch. Reviewed, too. Catcher's interference. Like the White Sox-Rays under. And
I made it.
Yeah. And the Blue Jays, they have been hot. They have been rolling, so that's a pretty good one, too, there with the Yankees. So hopefully you get back into the green, man. Hopefully. Or I know Clint's going the other way. I know he is rooting against you because he
I need red. I need red so I can pick, baby, so Dirty Red can do a little picking for man. Old Tiny T.
B. Scott, shout out to B. Scott for joining us as we had a great Texas report with him. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Texans All Access behind us, and then Area 45 after them. I am Ron. The show is always Houston. We love you, baby.
A lovely day.
To look like Will Anderson.
No, he'll drink the whole thing. Lord.
I got it too. I was there.
What are we doing?
What did he do?
It's 2-on-1.
Yeah.
You did.
What'd I say?
You said the S word.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Always play games with my job.
He turned and said, did he cut?
Seemed impossible to face.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.